Chelsea, I'm curious, does the IRS have a process for amending a 1023?
Yeah, I've actually heard this question a lot before. So there is no process for amending a Form 1023. It's a one-time document. But the IRS does care when a mission changes, evolves, or even drifts. The process for kind of managing that whole transition is to put the updated mission on the Form 990. So the Form 990 is how an organization can continuously, year after year, communicate with the IRS about its activities. And that's the way that it can protect itself, by disclosing its new activities where they say to disclose it, which is there's a line, Part 3, Line 2, and on Schedule O, which is just the open form where you can type out responses. So by describing any new activities there, an organization is giving the IRS the opportunity to review it, and if they have an issue, to come back and ask questions about it. And, you know, if to the extent the IRS hasn't brought that up, then an organization can say, look, we fully complied and disclosed all of our new activities to you over time.
And it occurs to me that if you did that, you would also want to maintain those documents, because if you have an old 1023 that states a mission that you've disclosed has morphed, then not only might you want to look at your certificate of formation that you have in your organization and whether or not you need to change that purpose, but also I would keep your communications with the IRS somewhere close and presentable in case the state's AG would ask you for all your communications with the IRS, which you may or may not get. Well, you'll get them from the organization. You won't get them from the IRS.
Right. And so I think, you know, it's a good transition time to talk a little bit more about the Form 990 with respect to governance. Even more than the Form 1023, the Form 990 has a lot of questions geared towards governance, which all appeared under a recent, very extensive rewrite of the Form 990. And I think that shows the IRS's interest in gathering all that information, which is maybe at odds with the purpose of the form from an IRS-only perspective as measuring tax compliance.
So from the state perspective, I had the privilege of being involved in the several meetings that were had with the IRS when I was at the Texas AG. And it was rare, because even the state's AGs just do not get information from the IRS. They do their jobs the way they're supposed to, and they protect the public, and they don't share information. But we had many organizations many meetings which had nothing to do with information from the public. So the state's AGs were able to share their in-the-trenches findings and information about what sorts of things would be helpful if AGs were able to review 990s and read that information, and how it would help in the governance arena and provide information. And I remember several attorneys saying, aren't the state's AGs upset about this, that the IRS is stepping on their toes, and they aren't, you know, meant to regulate the governance. This is state law. And my answer was always, it's more information for the states. Why would they be upset about that? So the other point I would like to make is that, just for those of you who represent organizations, is that the 990 is really a free training tool for your board of directors. If you sit down and you read the questions that the IRS asks about, do you have a conflict of interest policy? Do you have a whistleblower policy? Has your board reviewed the 990 before it was signed? All of these are questions that educate your board of directors on their duties and what they should be doing and how involved they should be in seeking out knowledge and information that help form the decisions that they make, as I said, as board members. The slide shows you, and I'm not going to read what you can see, what the IRS's website says, and it does reflect good that the IRS believes that an organization that has good governance is likely to be organized and operated exclusively for exempt purposes, because folks are focused on those, that mission-based purpose, and on proper review and oversight and so on.
Right. So I think it's clear that the IRS cares about governance items, not just that you have good governance in place, but because good governance means good tax compliance. And so it gives organizations an advantage in that the more credit they can build up by establishing and evidencing how good their governance is in order, how their board is operating, by making that clear on the face of the form, then it suggests to the IRS that the rest of the form itself, the information in there, is correct and is showing good tax compliance.
So on this slide, my goal was, when I thought about it, it was really kind of talking about self-regulation by the organization. And it's tips for working with the AG first, but I think you'll see where I'm going with this. I mean, assistant attorneys generals aren't people who are just out to cause angst in the sector. They believe in the work that they do. They are stewards of the assets that are held by these stewards. Stewards is the wrong word. The organizations are the stewards. But they are the safekeepers. They try to protect these assets, and they have only so many tools to do it. And years ago, when I started off in the charitable trust arena, I remember attending a conference at the Council on Foundations where the main topic was self-regulation, and it was all about, if we don't regulate ourselves, then all these laws are going to go into place, and all this regulation and it's going to defeat what the good works that we're trying to do. And I really don't think anything has changed a whole lot. I do think more and more organizations are understanding, you know, the buzzwords of good governance, best practices, and caring. So do the assistant attorneys general. And to that extent, they're working toward the same goal that the managers of organizations are. So understand they're public servants, and by that I mean they don't get paid very much at all. And so they're doing this because they want to. They find the work fulfilling.